If you want to advance, you must understand the methodic operations of the cosmos. If you don't understand how the people of the world operate, the gospel will be vain in your hands. God will not even use you to begin with. So you must understand these things. God would rather go to a man who understands the lifestyle of men than go to a man who loves God but has refused to understand men. You will not be used, not for much. God might use you to see visions. Then when he wants to effect the visions, you go and look for the other man. Praise God. If you are sleeping under this atmosphere, there's only one explanation for you. This song is for you. We need to pray for you. Seriously. Hallelujah. I was speaking to one of the sons of this ministry. How I began to encounter the person of the Christ, and how I began to know how much power I can wield as a Christian and as a believer, or how much power is allocated to me as a Christian. What can happen to me and what cannot happen to me. So I'm about to talk about one of the most powerful books of scripture. Actually, every book of scripture is powerful. We are going to have a committee meeting, but I just want to talk to us for just a few minutes. Praise the Lord. So, let us pay attention carefully. Praise the Lord. Can we start with John chapter 1? It's a long reading. I need somebody to begin from the beginning, because I'm going to be explaining. Sorry. I'm going to be explaining. And then, as I'm explaining, we are going to demonstrate too. How many of us are happy about that? We are going to teach, then we are going to demonstrate. We're going to teach, then we demonstrate. So I might need this to be moved after a while. The power of God is so heavy tonight to confirm every word as it is said. Praise the Lord. You are welcome. You all are welcome. Praise the Lord. So, I am particular. Is someone there? You can read for us, please.
In the beginning was the Word.
Calm down. In the beginning was the Word, right? All right.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God. The Word or the Word?
The Word.
The Word was with God. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks. All right. All right.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God. All right. Let's be fast a little bit.
The same was in the beginning with
God. Uh-huh.
All things were made by Him.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him.
And without Him.
Was not anything made that was made.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we see something? That the book of John, chapter 1, is giving us the secret to authentic power here. That there is a force that created the universe. And that force, that power, that dynamis, the source, is the Word. And this is the funny thing. I think I should open it too. That the scripture is telling us that Word was with God. So the word that the scripture is talking about in the book of John chapter 1 is not just the word in letters. He said the word was with God. Meaning that he's describing that word as somebody. God help us. He says, and the word was with God, right? And if you look at the remaining verse, it says, and the word was God. So, how can the word be with God and the word be God? Meaning that they're talking about two personalities there that are still the same. But that while they are the same, they were still. You get the point now. So who is the word? Let's go to verse 2. 4. Read verse 2 again. Read verse 2 again.
The same was in the beginning with God.
The same was in the beginning with God. Look at it there, correct?
Verse 3.
All things were made by him.
And without him
was not anything made that was made. Alright?
Verse 4. In him was life.
In him was life.
And the life was the light of
men. And the life was the light of men.
Verse 5.
And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness does not. The Bible says that in him was the light of men. So, that means to say that what we call the person of the Christ, what we call the Word of God is dimensionalized into the Word as person, Jesus Christ. The Word as scripture, written, logos. Then the spoken word is dimensionalized into three. The word of God as person in the person of Jesus Christ. The word of God in written form. Then the spoken word where the Holy Ghost speaks to you. Either to your inner witness or audibly. He speaks to you. Each of these three dimensionalizes. Formulates the source of true power. Listen to me. An encounter with this theory is what brings you to a point where you can exercise the kind of power that caused creation. Did you get my point?
Yes.
The power that made this world lies in you, but can only be activated by an encounter with these three dimensions. An encounter with Jesus. So, if you are here or you are listening to me now, you have not said yes to Jesus, I mean, just forget this. It's not possible. You have to receive Jesus into your life. Thereby having an encounter with him. And that is Jesus. That is the word as Jesus. Praise the Lord. Then, by virtue of passing through the office of the Spirit of Revelation in the person of the Holy Ghost, you are able to have an encounter with the written word. Then, in order to take the power of God to your generation, you need to have an encounter with the spoken word. Oh my God. Are we learning? Open to Psalm 107 verse 20. You see a confirmation there. No man can show his generation God's power who has not had an encounter with the spoken word. The spoken word is a word that you caught. A revelation you caught, either even if it's from still the written word, God sends it to you like an arrow and speaks to you. You hear the voice behind the letters, or he speaks to you directly and gives you a word for your generation that you will stand throughout your lifetime speaking this word. What did God tell Jeremiah before God sent him to his word? He had an encounter with the spoken word. Are we together? Is God helping us? Psalm 107 verse 20. Then we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 1.
He sent his word.
What?
He sent his word.
He sent his word. Listen. He sent his word. No. Not that one. The scripture where it said he sent his word to Jacob and he lighted upon Israel. Where is the scripture? I just want to figure out where it is. For the sake of Isaiah chapter 9, verse what, sir? I just quote scriptures from my spiritual, but this one I need to know where exactly I... Praise the Lord. The Bible says that he sent his word to Jacob. Sir, God has called you as a music minister. What are you going to sing to the world? What dimension of God are you going to sing to the world? What will be the predominant word that we will be mentioning to your generation? What encounter, what word of God have you encountered? Because before God will send you to your generation, he will give you a word. What are you going to say? When you read the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 very well, he says, I will put my words, right, in your mouth. When you stand before them, that is what you will say. Some of us want to go and stand before our generation. You are looking for ministration. You don't have what to say. God has not given you anything. God gave me a word. That's why you can see me recording messages, sharing them, putting them online. I have a word for my generation. And people listen to it and they are blessed. Because guess what? The power of God only follows what he has said. God is referred to as the King of the universe, the Creator, the God of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is what? Dunamis. So, once you have not encountered Jesus, once you have not encountered scripture, once you have not encountered the spoken word, it will be nearly or even impossible to truly experience raw power out of the question. The three dimensions of God's word must be revealed to you if you want to carry power. So this is what we are saying. Talk about healing, talk about prosperity, power in any area. You must have an encounter with these three things. Even when I caught the revelation of God's healing power, it was this, an encounter with scripture. When Bishop David Oyedepo called the prosperity revelation, it was still an encounter with scripture. You want to have power in any area of life, you must have an encounter with the three of these. If you have an encounter with Jesus and you have an encounter with scripture, your life will be blessed. Everything will work for you, but only you. Until you have an encounter with the spoken word, then you can extend it to a third party. The spoken word gives you the power to spread what you have received across the borders of nations. Without the spoken word, it is impossible to spread God's power and raise it as a banner to the universe. If you have not have an encounter with the spoken word, are you with me? Can you pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, give me an encounter with your word tonight. An encounter with your word. I don't want to stand before my generation. What will I tell them? Who will I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. He gave him a word. So he was unashamed. Some of us want to go and stand before Pharaoh. You have nothing. No encounter. You will be embarrassed. You will be sent packing, if not even imprisoned. Vina tunde kabatandi satasham.
Evanas kombi nas katan. Inakombe, your voice holds no weight in the realm of the spirit. You want to stand before the gods of the land with no word from the Lord. His power will not back you, I tell you. You will go there like a soldier without weaponry, without weapons. How long do you want to become a statement that shows that you have no God? Will you not sit down in the secret place and cry for a word from the Lord? Cry for a word from the Lord. Bring nothing there. Ebana kumbandi alatandos. If nothing then brene kumba. Bane kuba lasa. If natu. Kembrenito sin davaras. Ebaneko. Panate tun davaras. Power is real. All you need is an encounter with his word. Every man that had an encounter during the earthly ministry of Jesus, every single one of them, every one of them had an experience of power. They had an experience of dunamis. They had an experience of power. Everyone, not one left out, including Lazarus who was there. Not one left out. There was power, a depot of real raw power. Hey, it is true, Adura, that men encounter power. The word of the Lord can come in the place of prayer. The word of the Lord can come. It can come in a meeting like this. How long will your life remain in darkness? Will you remain in this light? Come up here. Go higher. Some people are getting closer but not close enough. Imane kumba bina sanda kabadados. It is power that you will use and overthrow the hands of darkness. It is power you will use and overthrow every preparation of hell to shortchange your destiny. It is power that you will use to shine in a world where horns rise to quench the stars of men. Pray yourself out of that tunnel of darkness. How long will you remain under bondage? How long? Did Isaiah chapter 60 not say, arise? You will only arise by power. You will only arise by Agbara. You will only arise by power. Little power. Little power. Beneto, I commande sina katando satai ayakumbrena sundevranas e completetes I canibrania totaya e becobati vrana kataya e kunde brina suta e combene e branatundi vrana kobaya. I use Adula to break the stethoscope. I use Adula to break the stethoscope. Enough of this limitation. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Hallelujah. Now open to Mark 16 verse 17. This is another scripture that changed my life and revealed to me the truest perspective of what it means to walk experientially in the supernatural. Listen to me. Cut across any principle. Prayer, fasting, whatever. This is the doorway to the miraculous. It is imbibed in just one word. Let's read Mark 16, 17. Can I have any two gentlemen come out, please? Mark 16, 17. Let's go. And these signs, listen up everybody. And these signs shall follow them. Wait. What? And these signs shall follow them. Why? What? Wow! That no matter whatever principle you engage in scripture, sir, are you with me? Whatever principle you engage in scripture, if you like, do 40 days dry. The thing is that the science is designed to follow only one kind of persons. Those that believe. So this is scripture. Scriptures cannot be broken, sir. You can tell yourself that you believe. The thing is, scripture is saying now that if you truly believe, that the signs are not just permitted, that the origin of the design of the signs and wonders of God is authorized and commanded to follow those, that if it is true by God and by man, that you, if it is true by heaven and by God's standard that you believe, if it is true, the signs will surely follow you. Can I have, sir, just stay here. Watch this, so watch this. Face.
Yes.
Good, sir, come. Stay here. Vat, come here, sir, stay. Yes. Now, are you watching this? Are you watching this? Imagine that Minister Flo here is their sign. Imagine that this is you. Sir, keep moving. Just be moving. Keep following him. He's their sign. This is you. Imagine this is you. As far as, just keep moving. As far as he's moving, be following him. No, turn. Yes. As far as, quickly. Do you guys should go down quickly? Yes. As far as he's moving, he's going. Because the original design of the signs and wonders of God is not to follow men of God. So you can be a man of God for 20 years. If you don't believe, the signs will not follow you. It doesn't follow you because you fasted. You can stop. Now watch, stop. Be following him. Don't go anywhere. Keep following him. Do you see what's happening to many of us? You are saying you believe, but in the realm of the spirit, this is what you are doing. Because there are many, many things that communicate a true belief system. Are we understanding now? Do you see why your prayer is useless? Because after you finish praying, you sit down in fear, wanting God to show you a sign, or wanting God to move ahead of you. God is saying, Baba, take this step. My power is only designed not to follow prayers, but to follow those that are moving. And these signs shall follow them. You only follow what is moving. Is that correct? Is that correct, sir? You only follow what? If it's not moving, you can't follow it. The criteria to follow something is that he has to be moving. So if the signs of God must follow you, you have to be moving. And guess what? You will move first. According to history, the sea did not part. The Israelites entered first before it parted. Thereby validating that scripture. Don't expect God to move before you. Move first. It is that fear that has killed believers over the years. So you are in a bus. He loses brake. After God says, I will give my angels charge over thee to keep you in the way. I remember there was a time I believed, this was one of the first scriptures I believed. And I was coming back from school and I kicked my leg on a stone. It was a rocky ground. Sir, honestly, under God, I lie not. I was supposed to fall flat. Was it a stone or somewhere like that? I was supposed to fall flat and probably have a fracture on my face. I don't know who or what helped me. I didn't fall. Some of us have been so used to an atmosphere of unbelief and casual church that even when God shows you a vision, I want to take you above the nations of the earth. What did I say? You say it's just a dream. God now sends a man and tells you, see, oh, I know you're a career person, but I'm going to use you to speak to the nations.
You say, God, leave that thing. If it's fasting, I will fast. But if this is stop lying to me. And God said, what on earth? How can I help you? If you have refused to believe, what did it tell Mary and Martha? If thou canst believe, the criteria, many people don't believe. The truest form that you believe is that you start moving and you continue moving. Many start but don't continue. You see the problem? Many ministers say that you start moving. No. You start and continue moving. These are the two signs that validate a true belief system. You don't start moving, you start and you continue. You don't continue because it says continue. You continue until you see results. Even after it sees results, you continue too. So what has been the problem? Year in, year out. Week in, week out. You have not been able to do something great. You are already 30 years old. Time is going. A day will come. Even if you get it right, all you can do is survive. Nobody receives a footballer at age 50. How will he run around the field? Even if God grants you favor in the midst of all the supervisors and the coaches and the owner of the field, how will you run around the field in 90 minutes? Even if you drink 10,000 glucose at age 50, how will you do it? Wouldn't it be jazz? Even if it were jazz, your body will weaken out. There is a season when if you get this thing at that season, it's almost as good as maybe you only got it for your children. Why do you want to waste your life flexing? When you can just close your eyes and pay the sacrifice now. And flex. So when you start enjoying, you know you are enjoying. Hi. Place your hand on your head and say, God, whichever way, let my eyes see tonight. I don't think somebody wants to take charge of their destinies. Cry to the Father, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Cry to the God of heaven and earth. Let my unbelief not be the limiter of my destiny. Oh Yahweh. Oh Yahweh. Oh Yahweh. Let my unbelief. Tell yourself the truth. There are some things you truly don't believe. You have already, you know you don't believe it. God is waiting for you to take that step of faith. Cry to the God of heaven, Yahweh, I will not truncate my destiny because of unbelief. They have told you that it is possible to stay all your life without drugs. You have said, no, now is it not God that created drugs? Yes, I know. I'm not condemning drugs, but I tell you, it is true, a man can come to a point. You will not know the name of any hospital. You will not, because you are now submerged in authentic belief system. So the supernatural becomes your natural habitat. You no longer know the things that keep mortal men strong. Brina ton di kabatan du savinas. Ekum renia satum. Bane kumba sinda tayakote. May my destiny not be truncated because of unbelief. Hold out your head and cry to the Father of all spirits. In Jesus' mighty name. You can have your seat, but still be in prayer mode because we are going to pray. You can have your seat, sir. Thank you, sir. There are many things that God has told you, young man. How can you walk in power if you are struggling to believe the prayer of 2 days headache? You are struggling to believe. Will you ever heal cancer? Will you ever raise wheelchair? Will you ever... I had the privilege of praying for a dead child some days ago, or about a week ago. I know what eventually happened.
There was a time I would not even pick the cup. How long will you continue struggling? God said, just do you know the truth? Some of us are afraid of being embarrassed. Can I tell you something? Any belief system that has plan B is not a true belief system. It will fail. Do you know God told Bishop David, God's servant, many years ago? He said, try to look up and look down at the same time. He tried it. And then God told him, anytime you are looking unto me, I never claim to be looking unto me. Every time you add an option to God, you don't truly believe. That is the truth. If you are planning as per leadership and administrative obligation, that's fine. But when God gives you a word and you now say, oh, let's just put this thing in place, should in case the word does not come to pass, it would never come to pass, not even see the light of day. Any day or any time you add an option to the word of the Lord, be rest assured that the word will fall, because it's no longer God's word. Anything plus any God's word plus anything is no longer God's word. God's word stands alone, like the ark that guy wanted to help. Who sent you? Anything you add to the word of the Lord as a plan B makes it null and void immediately of whatever power was allocated for that breakthrough. Learn this. Learn it. So you call out the sick and you pray for them. And one voice tells you, don't ask them, you'll be embarrassed. You are not ready to suffer for the kingdom. You are not ready to be embarrassed for the kingdom. You probably would never see anybody healed. Lift your voice one more time and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Are you praying that prayer? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Are you praying? Are you praying, Lord, help me? Lord, help me. Pray that prayer in 1 minute and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The apostles even prayed and said, Father, Lord Jesus, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Are you praying? 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 Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief.
I am for signs and wonders. I will not allow the spirit of doubt and fear rob me of my glorious ambassadorial destiny. Pray with fire. Pray with fire. Pray with fire, pray with fire. Pray with fire, pray with fire. Pray with fire. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help my unbelief. I am ordained an ambassador of Jesus. I refuse to allow the doubt and fear that ravages humanity ravage my glorious destiny. Pray like a man who knows that all is at stake. Bene cum brines conde branas. Bina cum brines conde branas. Ve cum brines conde gabadas. Bina comprende sada bashodia. Are you praying? My life will not be truncated by unbelief and doubt. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Let me talk a little bit about healing. Let me talk a little bit about healing. Revelations. Let me talk a little bit about healing. Revelations 22 verse 2. It says, there in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, when you read Mark 7, verse 27. There was a woman whose daughter was possessed with devils. And she was not part of the revival. She was not a believer, you know, whatever it is. She was not with Christ. Let's read like that. And then Jesus told her something. He said that when she came to him, since she had heard. You know, there are some people that have issues and they come to you. Not that they believe, but let's just try. So that was her motive. Let me just see. And then she said something. That it is not good to give what bread of children to dogs. Right? And then she said, even the one that, yes, falls on the table can still be eaten or something like that. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus, seeing that she was persistent and she began to believe, and she really, you know, coordinated her faith in that manner, answered her. Praise the Lord. So this scripture lets us know that healing is your children's bread. The moment you come into the family of God via salvation, like you received the life of Christ yesterday, the moment you come into Christ, it is your right to live without drugs. Someone say amen. Are we together? So if you are not living a life of divine health, where you have nothing to do with the various support system provided by man, it is possible to live in this realm without headaches. It is possible to live in this realm without pain. It is possible. Because the scripture says it here, that it is my right as a Christian, praise the Lord, to have access to the healing power of God. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Can somebody open that for us? I'm showing us scriptures that let us know that it is our entitlement to live a life of supernatural health. There are some people that have normalized their constant visit to hospitals. You tell them it's possible to stay without sickness, they are like, that. So everybody chooses the kind of life eventually they want to live. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 24. If you are there, you could read for us. Yes, 1 Peter 2:24, not 1 Corinthians. Listen, he himself did what? Correct.
In his body on the cross,
okay,
so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Wait, where is that?
1 Peter 2 verse 24.
Which version? I thought as much, but I love that version. You are still going to read for me. Somebody else with KJV, please help us.
Who his own self bear our sins in his body.
Again. Again, please.
Who his own self bear our sins.
Who his own self bear our sins, correct? In his own body. On the tree.
That we.
Being dead to sin,
should live unto righteousness.
The interesting part. By whose stripes you were healed. Now listen. Look at this. Look at the statement. It says you were healed. Meaning that whatever construction of sickness you probably are going through now, or whatever construction of sickness that the devil is preparing for you in the future, that you were healed. So God has taken it from your past, God has taken it from your present and your future. So you cannot, the moment you fall sick, you are defaulting the original plan of God. That is, in God's thoughts for you, your present and your future are both void of sickness. Are we following? Let's go to Isaiah 53. I will be reading for time's sake. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. This is talking about the summary of the purpose of the coming, the death and resurrection of Christ. No form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. What happened? A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Can you imagine? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, oh my God, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him not. Esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what? Now listen. Isaiah. Let me explain it like Todd White explained it. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says, by his stripes, via his sufferings, by his stripes we are healed. Is that correct? Then 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. He's referring to that the past. So between we are healed and we were healed, permit my grammar, is we is healed. So hallelujah. So the healing package, the salvation plan of God that covers our healing package also covers the past, the present, and the future, and carries all the possible sicknesses we can have and packs it in the price Jesus paid. So in the future you cannot be sick. Do you understand? You cannot be sick. That everything Jesus did captured your salvation, connecting you back to God, reconciled you back to God, gave humanity the platform to reconnect. But there are other packages inside of salvation and healing, divine health, staying as somebody who would never have issues with their health forever till they go to be with the Lord is one of the packages hidden in the salvation plan. So there is nothing wrong in taking drugs. True. But what is the essence of having a car you will not use? And you keep checking every day to a far distance where you know your car could save you all that trouble. That's what many of us are doing. Surrounded with resources, but refuse to make use of it. Is God helping us? Can we pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, open my eyes to see, oh. Open my eyes to see. Pray that prayer in 1 minute right now. Open my eyes to see Heavenly Father. Open my eyes to see. Are you praying? Vene cum brenia nos cabradas. Open my eyes to see Yeshua. Open my eyes to see Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are afraid. I need us to pay attention to this, please. I want us to visit another scripture that I first came across through the mouth of God's servant of blessed memory of the robot in one of his messages, where he was speaking to over 2,000 people, if I'm not mistaken, and he came in with just a piece of paper, and this was what he used to teach them, and prayed for hundreds of sick people. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 8. Can we open there? But I'll read because of time. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. You can see in this scripture that God, the Lord Jesus, was literally irritated by sickness. It was one of the things because anything that defies your body seeks to mock the image of God. Remember that we are built in God's image. So the moment a part of your body begins to malfunction, it's simply ridiculing that image. So this is what I believe was the reason why it always irritated Jesus to see somebody who is deformed and pass the person by. Because man was made in the image of God, and he will pass a blind man and see that he is blind. But God is not blind. My Father is not blind. This man cannot be blind. So somebody can get angry tonight. I am made in the image of God. How can I be in the wheelchair? I am made in the image of God. How can I be having short-sightedness? How can I be having far-sightedness? I am made in the image of God. How can I be having body pain? This is the reason why when any of these things seem to want to kick off in my system, I just say, thank you, Jesus. And believe you me, immediately I feel peace. I feel peace. It's as if it was never there. That a man has lived 6 years without issues or pain or health challenges does not mean there were not times the things tried to attack his body. But the presence of this revelation that it is one of the salvation packages, he just says, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then he's saying thank you, Jesus, not just thank you. You would think he just said thank you, too. You go and say thank you, Jesus, without understanding your rights in Christ and the fact that as a Christian, it is your breakfast to be healthy. So you can get angry tonight and get up from that sick bed and tell your body, I am the image of Christ. Devil, you can no longer mock this image. You can tell that or continue in the light of your pain. All depends on you. Your prayer is still useless without an understanding of what God has done. Your prayer is still useless without an understanding of what God has said. Praise the Lord. I'm sure by now, you must know that the word of God, the scriptures, gives credence to your prayer. The dynamics that evolves out of your prayer can only be possible when there is the presence of scripture. Hallelujah. Vina combrene sote gadabradi ali cavradas. Esina tundi vranatos kebrene kuvala badatusia. I hope you are learning. So look at it there. The centurion said, Lord, verse 8, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, this is we are getting to the catch, all right? And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed. So, outside just healing, you see, what anything, whether healing, prosperity, anything at all, if you do not believe, it is vain to even attempt it because it will not work. So look at what Jesus is telling him as regards the healing of his servant, that as thou hast believed, what so be it done unto thee. And what was the report of scripture? And the servant was healed that same hour. Rise to your feet, everybody. Let's begin to pray. You are going to pray that prayer we prayed earlier again. Lord, let unbelief and fear not truncate my death. There are many people. There is a man I know, I met in Port Harcourt some years ago, as far back as 2020, who said to me that he was just starting his ministry at age 40. In fact, he was 40 when he just clocked 40 when he was saying that now he now wants to start. What kind of fear and unbelief can make a man stall that long? How much can you achieve? Even if you achieve anything, do you know the rigor and the laborious work at that age? The strength or the glory of the youth is their strength. It is easy to create destiny fulfillment at a youth stage. Once the season of your youth passes, it will be close to impossible to make a mark in your generation. Stars are early risers. Generational stars are early risers. They are early risers. Go and study about the generals. Many of them started at, I think I explained it, was it not in the last message or in one of the messages? Early risers, sir. Early risers. Every single one of them. Even Fred Bosworth, that almost missed it. At 21 or thereabout, he picked up the mat. He was doing different jobs, jumping from one job to the other. Until God helped him eventually. Every one of them were early risers. Everyone. They took risk. Can I tell you? You must have heard it before, but let me tell you again. Faith is the biggest risk of the kingdom. Faith. Faith. I know a man of God today. I saw the visions of his church. Big and mighty. Like that of Canaan land. But he's still in one building today. It's not like he's anointed too. But there are many anointed people that it will shock you. They stopped believing God a long time ago. They reduce their belief system to a point where they see a little breakthrough and they exalt it and you are wondering, what? Thank God for this, but what exactly is special about this breakthrough? Do you want to limit your life to it? Let me tell you, unbelief and fear is a demon you must fight. Like you are fighting for your life. The word of God will never produce if you don't move in faith. It would never produce. Abraham would never have been the father of faith if he didn't take steps. Sarah would not, they wouldn't be. Do you think people's name get pegged in the sounds of time because they just began to follow God? No, it takes faith to follow God. You are going to cry to God tonight and say, Father, Lord, help my unbelief. Deliver me from the claws of fear and doubt. You don't understand. Some of you are keeping quiet. I can see that all of us here are faith giants. All right, you can sit down. Maybe the prayer is not for you. But me that still wants to grow in faith. Oh Lord my God, may there not come a time where I doubt you. I'd rather die than live my life knowing that I doubt any part of your word. Jesus, oh Lord God of heaven and earth, thou son of David, help my unbelief. Pray that prayer. Let me not be a victim of unbelief. Are you praying? Jesus, I have seen what it has done to man. I will not allow my destiny to be truncated because of unbelief. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? Pray! Oh Lord, my destiny will not be truncated because of unbelief. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can I show us some scripture how disastrous unbelief is? Romans chapter 11 verse 20 says that, well, it even shows us the depth of hardiness. You know, when somebody has suffered so much and they want to start explaining, there's a way the expression begins. Scripture even had to start from, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Another translation will tell you, they entered not into their rest because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. There was a place that Jesus went as the Son of God. Oh, I thought that whether they believed or not, he would just do all the mighty works he did in other cities. But can you believe? Scripture lets us know that, and Jesus, your Savior, my Savior, could do no mighty works because of the unbelief of a man. That is to tell you that one man should change the power of God on the life of your Savior that he could not effect change in his life. So when you begin that, I was teaching Mike earlier that when you start out with God and you get to discover the healing power, you will be jumping out to pray for the sick anyhow. But as you grow and mature with God, you will no longer jump out like that, because you will know that with all the anointing in your head, one man can make you look like you are so unanointed. So you will now begin to move by discernment. Do you understand? Jesus would always tell them, as he prayed for them, be it unto you according to your faith. Because do you know the truth? No matter how anointed a man of God is, even God can't work with somebody who does not believe. God can't work with somebody whose faith is filled with such weakness. If he could do no mighty works in that city, is it you that is a Christian somewhere? You want to do mighty works? Yeah, the little one God told you set up a network. You are telling God who will listen to me? God that told you to set up the network will not give you a word to speak to the people. Will he not bring those who will walk with you? Step out in faith first. I remember years ago, I was granted the privilege to teach in a midweek service of a church in this local government. Praise the Lord. And there was this guy that was looking for a job for a very long time. I don't know how many years. And he was sitting in the meeting. Like, that was his first time, safe. And while he came and I was talking about faith, and I shouted, if you truly believe in God, step out. And the guy, the word hit him. I didn't know that a couple of days later, he stepped out and approached a company. I don't know how it happened. Maybe somebody was standing outside and they just called him. And in 2 days after, the crown of the story is that 2 days after he got that word, he got a job without CV. And sometime later we met and he started shouting, man of God, you have the word in your mouth. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that do you know that I was listening to your word and you shouted, go out there and step out in faith. And I stepped out in faith. And lo and behold, I went to a place and they gave me a job without asking, without any formalities. Step out in faith. Otherwise, you will remain a mediocre for life. The way out of mediocrity is to step out of faith. Step out in faith, rather. The way out of a life of mediocrity is to step out in faith. Not step into prayer. Step out in faith first. Then your prayer can have credence. Step out in faith first. What is that instruction of the Holy Ghost you have not obeyed? Step out in faith. Lift up your voice and begin to give God thanks right now. And say, Lord, please. In fact, lift your hands. Let me make a declaration over this house. Now listen, if there is anybody here who has been struggling with their unbelief, who have been struggling with their belief system, who has been struggling with their faith level, there's anybody here like that, lift your hands, I want to pray for you. Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have helped me. There was a time in my life I struggled so much, until one day I was in a meeting and God led a minister and he held my shoulder and he began to ask me, what have I said that? He began to speak. It's as though God began to speak to him. And began to ask me, what has God told me that has not come to pass? Lift your hand. Some of us, the reason why you wouldn't have been doubting God like this, oh, but there was something they said, God said, it never came to pass. Ever since then, you have struggled to believe any other thing. There, some of us, they've told you anything you say will come to pass. You spoke and nothing happened. Ever since then, you have struggled. In the name of Jesus, there is a grace that can make... See, there is a grace that can force a man to actually begin to understand and believe God. But can I tell you something after this prayer? Lift your hands. Let me pray for you first. In the name of Jesus, Lord, the way the apostles cried and you helped their unbelief, that is the same way as many that believe that are under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus... May your faith rise beyond this threshold. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Listen to me. After now, become a friend of God's word.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now listen to these instructions. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of the word of God. Do you know the disease that eats up the faith in you? Lack of meditating on God's word. Become a friend of scripture. Become a friend of audio messages, gospel messages. Become a friend of Christian literatures, anointed books. The Bible says that, meditate, Joshua 1 verse 8. Is that correct? Meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Based on what? The meditation. Because by then, your faith would have come to a point it can force any door of prosperity open. But if your faith has not risen, in what way will it be strong enough to enforce prosperity upon your path? Hallelujah. Are we together? They are prophesying you, it's not working. Your faith does not hold enough potency to carry it. Hope you know that your faith is like a womb that inhabits the word of God and incubates as you keep building, as you keep building. After 9 months, after a while. Because if it is truly the word of God you have been meditating on, you discover that patience will begin to build in you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, after ye have done all, there is need of patience. You cannot exercise that patience if you don't have enough of God's word in you. Because it is the word of God that gives stability to wait and stability to do exploits. The Bible says that those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. It talks about two different things. You will have the strength to do the things that the average man cannot do. The average man is filled with impatience. You as a believer will be able to wait. When God says wait with me, you will wait. When God says move, you will move. Why? Because enough of God's word to believe that God is not scamming you. Some of us, when God tells you wait, it's as though you've just had the devil. Your faith is with so much ridiculous structure that it cannot even build a toy house in the realm of the spirit. Talk more or less of a skyscraper. God can't use you to do anything because you've not built your faith to a point of stamina to hold great things. So God looks at you and weighs you and says, no, I can't work. I can't work. I love you. I cherish you, but I cannot work with you. God cannot work with everybody, not because they are favorites, but not everybody has paid the price by building their faith, coming out of the threshold of unbelief. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Is that correct? Which is able to build you up. Because if I don't ask, many of us don't read our Bibles. How else will your faith grow? How else will your faith grow? So it's not just to shout amen. When you go home, pick up your Bible. Before you go, find the INI messages. Meet the general secretary. Or meet the vice president. Get INI messages. Dwell on them. If you are looking for spiritual books, come. We'll give you. Just make sure you read them. That is the only way to build your faith. There's no shortcut. People that God works with are people who have built their faith to a point where they can. Because it takes faith to follow God. It takes faith to walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Lift your hands, everybody. Let's begin to give God thanks as we come to a close. Have we learned something tonight? Can we worship the name of God? If you know God has spoken to you, your life has changed. Worship his holy name. Bless his holy name. Father, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Are you giving God thanks? Be thou glorified, O God, be thou exalted. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.